BlakeRadio.com.
My name is Damian Sandow, and I am here to help all of you. As your intellectual savior, I can no longer stand idly by and watch as you, the unwashed masses, plunge further into the bowels of your own inadequacies and shortcomings.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
No, no, no! This is supposed to be about me! This was supposed to be the greatest night of my life! And not only will I be the champion, but I will be the face of the WWE!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
Let me tell you something, you self-righteous little puke. I am an A-plus player. I always have been, and I always will be.
And Lindsay Ward.
I have shattered glass ceilings. I have broken down doors. I have done more in 1 year than all of you have done in your entire collective careers.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Today being St. Patrick's Day, figured what better way to open than with a little horn swoggle. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Raw Post Show Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Presented as always by PW Mania, MemlanePromo.com. I am, of course, Sir Rockin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Oh my goodness, we have so much to get into.
Yeah, and apparently people who were supposed to be on the actual show showed up late in the night.
Oh, is that why he's on the dark match?
Uh-huh. No, he's just there because, well, he came for the dark match, not for the actual show. But we'll get into him and my correct prediction later in the show.
Right?
Alright, we'll get into that later. Anyway, the Monday Night Raw opened with a review of Occupy Raw, and out came the game himself, Triple H. Triple H says he wants everyone to understand something. When it's all over at WrestleMania 30, it's the audience's fault. Yes, you out there. It didn't have to come this, but now I'm going to crush your dreams and end the Yes Movement and end Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, and that is on you. Hunter said he's not upset about what happened last week, because he had the week to think about it. He calmed down. He said he will be cold, calculating, and without remorse at WrestleMania 30, but until then, he has a few things he would like to say to Daniel Bryan, and as he bends down, I will say to him later tonight, face-to-face and man-to-man. Out came Dave Batista as the crowd booed. Batista asks Hunter who he thinks he is, giving Daniel Bryan the chance to be in his match at WrestleMania. Batista said he didn't sign up for this. He came back to WWE World Heavyweight Champion. He said he earned the right by winning the Rumble, the Royal Rumble. Batista said he's not cool with the potential three-way. And I asked, what the hell are you thinking? Hunter basically said that Bryan has no chance. Do you really think Bryan has a chance of beating me at WrestleMania? There's no problem. He has no chance of doing so. And then out came Randy Orton. Orton told H that he's going to have to actually agree with Big Dave on this one. He said even the possibility of the title match becoming a three-way is a big problem. Hunter asked if they really think there's a chance of him losing to Bryan at WrestleMania. The crowd went, yes, yes, yes. Hunter said there's no chance of this happening. Hunter asked what their problem is. Has Bryan got inside their heads? Batista said, apparently not as much as he's gotten into yours. Hunter thought about this And then Orton won it, Bryan in a no DQ match tonight, and Hunter, well, gave it to him. Orton then addressed Batista, saying the reason why people are cheering Bryan is not because of the Yes Movement, but because they don't believe in Batista. He said when Batista left, no one cared, and they even cared less when he came back. Batista shot back that saying the reason why they like Bryan is because Orton sucks as WWE champion. Batista told Orton he's a paper champion and doesn't deserve to hold the titles. Orton and Batista started to argue. Hunter was started getting a ring between them, but, well, decided to leave the ring. And Batista shouted at Hunter, where do you think you're going? You know, you can't go anywhere until you fix this. Hunter said he's sick of everything around here. He's tired of the little trolls like Bryan, sick of the crowd cheering him, sick of the Hollywood movie stars coming back and telling him what's right for this business. Hunter and Batista got it face to face, and then Hunter said he's sick of gifted guys who are so messed up in the head that they can't win without him holding his hand. Guy in the Orton's face. Hunter then calmed down and said that maybe the old man's actually right. Maybe for once the old man is right. The only one who you can trust in this world is yourself. Hunter says there will, in fact, be a triple threat at WrestleMania, but Daniel Bryan will not be in it, he claimed. Hunter said when he beats Bryan, the triple threat will be Orton, Batista, and me.
Ooh.
Batista wasn't happy and then fell into an RKO out of nowhere. Let's react to this.
This was fantastic. I mean, this was a great way to open Monday Night Raw. Clearly, somebody has been reading the stuff on the internet. They've been listening to radio shows. They've been basically, you know, that whole they don't listen to the fan things. They listened to the fans. They took the fans' complaints and they wrote them into the script.
Word for word.
Word for word in some cases. This was brilliantly done. I loved it. I love the bickering. I love the infighting. And I love how Hunter's, you know, finally we're seeing that progression of Hunter grossly abusing his power. Mm-hmm. Which we've been waiting to kind of see since the Authority storyline started. We knew it was coming. And we've seen that increase in that happening with Bryan. But now it's Hunter has put himself into the main event of WrestleMania as the COO of the company, so he is basically Vince 2.0, which is fantastic.
I love this. I loved everything about this segment. I love that. I love the how Batista and Orton threw shots at each other, which were great.
And these weren't the only shots thrown. This show had so many shots at it. Holy crap!
Yeah, there's a certain guy named Phil who probably has some bullet holes in his chest right about now.
Yep.
Oh. But yeah, I loved everything about this segment. Great stuff, great open. And it's Hunter, once again, trolling the internet and putting himself, possibly, into the main event of WrestleMania 30. We could have an all-evolution main event. But the one thing that came out of it, there will be a triple threat at WrestleMania.
So things just got a lot more interesting at Mania. This was a great opening segment. It was very, very, very well played. Loved all three in this, and I loved how it's just like, you know, some things just never change, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They just really never do, so this was great.
Batista was in the back, leaving, and, well, basically told Renee Young he made a big mistake coming back here and left. Bye, Dave.
Boy, bye.
Boy, bye. Up first in our opening contest, the Usos take on the Real Americans. Great match. I liked it.
Really good match.
I liked it. I liked this a lot. There was this thing on the Raw pre-show, is it? Yeah, Raw pre-show, that's what it's called.
The thingy
before the show, where Swagger and Cesaro got into it, mocking each other. You can do the swing. Well, you can just do the little ankle lock. It was tremendous. But this was a really good match, and Despite all their frustrations, the Real Americans beat the tag team champions.
Ooh.
So does this put the Real Americans in line for a WrestleMania title match?
It might. Seeing as the other two tag teams that really have a shot are kind of busy doing other crap. The Shield clearly aren't interested. The Wyatts aren't interested. So, well, you gotta have somebody.
You gotta... Yeah, you really do need somebody to fight for the titles, and if Road Dogg's not healthy, the New Age Outlaws can't get their rematch at the pay-per-view, so,
no. Yeah.
Well, we shall see what transpires there.
We will.
Then we go backstage. Kane was talking to the Shield in the hallway. Kane calmly said they all made regrettable decisions on Friday. Reigns was chuckling. Kane said the Authority has given them a mission, and he needs a united Shield by his side. Otherwise, they cease being an asset, and they become a liability. Kane asked if he can count on them. Rollins, they said, yeah, we're united. Reigns smirked at Kane. And, well, Kane told them to do the right thing, or else they will find how replaceable they actually are. I was waiting for Dean to say something stupid, and he did not.
Oh, Dean's face told the whole story. I mean, good God, he didn't need to say a word. He just stood there and made stupid faces at Kane the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Dean was, I mean, pretty much Dean in this segment was 1,000 times done with Kane shit. Like, he was just done.
Oh, yeah. Completely. But as we've seen on SmackDown, Dean's mouth could get him into trouble. And thankfully, it didn't get him to trouble tonight.
At least not yet.
Not yet. Hornswoggle, with a full head of hair, came to the ring giving out St. Patty's Day gifts. Wade Barrett gave him some bad news. Our next contest, Sheamus took on Titus O'Neil in a St. Paddy's Day showdown.
Because, you know, that's not stereotyping or
anything at
racist
all.
At all. You know, to put the Irish guy in a St. Paddy's Day brawl on St. Patrick's Day when I don't think his country even celebrates it.
Yeah, the match was fine, but the biggest thing was Christian and JBL going back and forth on commentary.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Christian was, like, trying to fight back on everything they've been saying about him for the last few weeks. Christian claimed he's going to win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Sheamus won with a pro kick. Hornswoggle was put in harm's way at one point, and, well, Sheamus caught him before he could take a fall-away slam. So Sheamus wins. After the match, Christian attacks Sheamus, laying him out with the kill switch on the outside. Sheamus is also going to be in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
This was a little awkward, at least as far as the promo, because Sheamus got a promo.
With Renee.
With Renee in the ring. She popped up out of nowhere. And it looked like he had something else to say. There was maybe another part of it that didn't get air because they cut him off with his music.
I think it was an awkward. I think Sheamus may have thought he was attacking him in the ring. I think that's what was going to happen, and not actually afterwards.
Yeah,
something to that effect. We then learn, Lindsay. Next week on Monday Night Raw, Arnold Schwarzenegger will be on Raw.
Forget Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know who else is going to be on Raw?
Who?
Scooby-Scooby-Doo!
Scooby-Doo and the Mystery Machine will be on Raw, as well as Arnold Schwarzenegger.
So excited for Scooby. If stuff between Kane and Scooby doesn't happen, I will be so sad.
That would be very, very disappointing. Up next on Monday Night Raw, we're going to talk about John Cena and his statement against the Wyatts. But first, quick timeout right here on the Raw Post Show.
Celebrating 10 years of WrestleTalk Radio.
Now, what did you buy with Ted DiBiase's money? Man, you know what? Probably a fucking Ghost Rider comic book. I don't know. That was a long time ago. You know, I'm surprised I didn't, like, frame it and stick it on a wall or something, because I'm a collector and I do stupid... I hold on to, like, stupid shit like that. But yeah, at that time in my life, most likely, probably went to comic book.
Tune in to the live special, Sunday night, March 23rd, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That's right, WTR 10 this Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern. Russell Talk Radio. Follow on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night and like it on Facebook, Russell Talk Radio. Now we're going to get the...
You are a shameless shill.
Hey, I worked hard on putting these things together. They're going to get played. Anyway, John Cena is in the ring. And he's full of energy. He says the crowd is full of energy here in San Ann. Cena says there's some excitement and some disappointment. He said he's been here for 12 years, had 3,500 matches or so, and they spent a lot of time with each other. And basically, we get along, and other times we don't. We're sort of like an old married couple at this point. But he always given the audience his best. Cena then said he wants to get honest here. He says he's afraid of Bray Wyatt. Who he is, what he stands for, and how he goes about his business. Cena says he's afraid that people are actually listening to what Bray Wyatt is saying.
Yes, yes, we are. Deal with it.
Cena says his other opponents like Triple H and The Rock have been about getting in the ring and proving who's the best. But Bray doesn't care about that. All he wants to do is destroy his legacy. Cena said Bray has been trying to convince the audience that he is a phony. Cena says he believes in everything he says he stands for and will do. He said WrestleMania 30 is not about fighting Bray Wyatt, but for fighting for every injury he has suffered, every person who has ever believed a word he says. At WrestleMania 30, I will be fighting for everything. At WrestleMania, I will be fighting for my legacy. Those are strong words from John Cena.
This was a nice, nice promo from Cena. Much better than last week. They had Cena tone down the silly. He's taking Bray Wyatt seriously. And believing that, you know, maybe Bray Wyatt is actually a legit threat, which he is.
And I quote, children believe in superheroes. They wear masks and capes and because they want to believe that the world is good. Let me fill you in on my childhood. It wasn't all about rainbows and butterflies. I have your scars too. The world gave them to me. They gave them to me because it was my birthright to have them. They taught me a few things. They taught me that everything I love is going to wither away and die. I can just be like you. I could sign autographs, kiss babies, make sure everyone buys all my merchandise. Should note that he's wearing John Cena merch.
Yep.
I could go home to my plastic girlfriend in my castle, hold back everything I feel inside, and tell jokes. Yeah, that's you, man. But you are right about one thing. I am different than anyone you have ever faced. After WrestleMania, I don't care if I ever leave. I don't care if I die. As long as the world sees you as I do. Follow the buzzards. Go.
Alright. Bray, you cheeky little fuck you. When he popped up on the screen and all you saw was John Cena's shirt, I was like, oh no, he didn't. He didn't. But sure enough, there he is. He's standing in the shirt and the armbands and everything. And this was a fantastic promo. Because you have Cena cut a very strong promo, and then you have Bray turn around and cut it right back.
Mm-hmm.
And throw the words back, and basically, he wants to expose John Cena for who he really is. And everything Bray said, no offense to Nikki Bella, was right. He called John out on all his crap.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch Total Divas, you will see that John Cena is very reserved. He usually holds back. he doesn't really talk about, and he doesn't like to talk about what's going on.
Right.
He avoids the subject, especially, you know, regarding any kind of, you know, emotional distress. He doesn't like to deal with it. So Bray was on point. He was very apt. And again, this was just a really, really, really good promo on his part. This was a nice segment, a nice setup for the match. Because they're making Bray look like a legit threat, which is pretty awesome.
I couldn't agree more. Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, non-title, no DQ. They played with a big stick for a very long time.
They beat the crap out of each other.
Daniel Bryan got tossed around over onto the table a couple times. They just beat each other with a stick repeatedly. Great match. Great match. The finish saw Batista coming out through the crowd, spearing Randy Orton. Daniel Bryan then gives the running knee to Batista, knocking him out of the ring. And Daniel Bryan picked up the victory. Really good match. Really good.
Fantastic match. Probably one of the best parts of it, though, was at the very, very, very beginning when Orton smacked Bryan with the kendo stick. Mm-hmm. And he mockingly goes to the ref. Where's the bell? Ring the bell. Oh, that's right. What? It's no DQ.
Yeah.
So I have a really funny feeling something happened at a live show or something happened in a dark match where it was supposed to be a no DQ and somebody screwed up.
Probably. They always like to throw those things out there.
Yeah, because Orton wouldn't take that shot unless somebody screwed up.
Yeah.
So.
Up next, Paul Heyman came out. He said he came out and greeted the audience and the Texans. He is the advocate for Brock Lesnar. Heyman said he's here to illustrate the point that The Undertaker's last several WrestleMania victories have been about barely surviving. Heyman said those same opponents were victimized by his client, Brock Lesnar. Heyman then introduced, a video package hyping the streak and showing off Brock Lesnar.
Heyman, we're not going to talk about the segment. Just move on.
Heyman then proclaimed The Undertaker and his streak will rest in peace at WrestleMania. I like this video package because it illustrated a couple. It showed Brock Lesnar strong, and it showed that, the beatings have taken an effect on The Undertaker.
Basically, it pointed out Taker's getting old, and time is catching up on him. And, yeah, it was sad and semi-depressing, and I don't like to be reminded of the fact that my Undertaker is getting old.
Never once said the O word. Anyway.
It implied it!
I was saying I never said it.
You never said it, they never said it, but they did everything but say it. I mean, good God. And don't get me wrong. This was a really, really, really nice video package. WWE Pros Production and the people that make these packages are very, very, very good at their job, but it seems like this year, I don't know if they've hired new people, I don't know what they've done, but the packages seem much, much better than they've already been.
Well, and there's another package we need to talk about coming up here in a little bit.
Yes, we do, but, you know, props to them on the video package. It was very well made. And, again, it's that reminder that Taker's wrapping up. That's basically what it was. Mm-hmm. They're trying to do everything they can to put doubt onto the streak.
Right.
And that's really kind of cool because it's something of, you know, Taker hasn't walked out well. Out of the last couple matches he's had.
Well,
we all know.
The last couple he's been alright. But before that, he was struggling.
The last... When he faced Punk, he was fine. But he had a hard time with Hunter. both times. He had a hard time with Sean both times. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first time with Hunter, he had to be taken out on a cart. And so it's something of, you know, you can tell that Taker is physically diminished. He is not the Undertaker he was 5 years ago. I mean, we watched him at 27.
Yes.
And he's not the Undertaker he was then. He's not the Undertaker he was when he faced Shawn Michaels, and that's just because time and injuries have caught up with him. So they're doing a nice job, as depressing and saddening as it is for the fangirls, of pointing that out. That, you know, they're actually pointing out the Undertaker is mortal.
And they're sort of positioning the Undertaker as an underdog.
Yes, so this is, they're doing a nice job with this. And it's putting, you know, Taker in doubt of, can he beat Brock Lesnar?
Yes. Backstage, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon were shown in their office. Steph asked Hunter if he really wants to just talk to Daniel Bryan tonight. Hunter calmly said he just wants to get some things off his chest. Stephanie was very angry. Said Brian disrespected her, them, and her family. She asked Hunter if he's even thought about what would happen if he beats Brian at WrestleMania 30 and then becomes WWE champion. Hunter calmly said he'll take care of his own, this on his own. Got it? Steph stood up, glared at Hunter, said, "You better." Steph don't play, y'all. She don't play.
And there's the billion-dollar princess that we all know and love so much.
Fandango versus Goldust.
Cody and Goldust mocking Fandango in Summer. That was hilarious.
It was great. Goldust picked up the victory. Looked like Goldust got hurt a little bit because he was bleeding a little bit. So hopefully Goldust is okay.
I hope so.
And then, we got this little promo about main event tomorrow night. Care to tell everyone what that promo was, Lindsay?
The Undertaker is going to be on main event.
Live. Who called it?
You did.
Thank you very much. She said last night to me, "Oh no, that won't happen. They'll never put
main event and the Undertaker."
I told her it was going to happen. Bam. It happened. I got to win one once in a while.
Yes, you do. You got to win one, and I'm very happy for you.
I got one. The undefeated streak is over. Anyway. The streak is over. By God. Anyway. Kane and his suit were in the ring. Kane came down to the ring and said it is his responsibility to execute the vision of the authority. One thing not in the vision was last week's Occupy Raw. Kane said it was dangerous and not up to code, so on behalf of the authority, he investigated the events and found there was one person who helped Daniel Bryan last week, and it was Memphis's own Jerry Lawler. Jerry Lawler was like, no, that was not it. And, well, he wanted to get Kane to get in the ring, but King didn't get in the ring, so out came the Shield. And the Shield aggressively forced him into the ring. Kane said Lawler isn't not exactly in the fighting shape, so he won't enjoy what he has to do.
Well, he won't enjoy it that much.
He asked Lawler if there's anything he would like to say for himself, and well, Seth Rollins took the mic and stood next to him and said he doesn't think Daniel Bryan will come and save him as the crowd chant, "Yes, yes, yes." Because the Shield always does what's best for business. And then, instead of looking at Lawler, they turn. They actually turn. And look at Kane. And Kane was like, oh, crap.
Yeah, you saw this big smile on his face just start to fade, and you're like, and he's literally standing there going, shit.
Mm-hmm. Kane started to fight back, but took a big spear from Roman Reigns, and then the Shield laid him out with a triple powerbomb.
So a face turn for the Shield.
It was nicely done.
Mm-hmm.
It was nicely done. So yeah, it looks like the Shield are going to be involved with Kane at WrestleMania.
I have no problems with this at all.
No, not at all. Cameron and Naomi making her return versus AJ Lee and Tamina Snuka. You had the Bellas on commentary, and Lindsay was sitting here waiting and waiting and waiting. You gonna mention the plastic comment, please, please, please?
Oh, I so wanted her to do that. I so wanted her to say something, and she didn't do it. It's like, come on! He called you plastic!
But there was no response. They hyped the Total Divas. They hyped being the number one contender. And while all this happened, Naomi almost killed AJ and picked up the win with a split-legged moonsault in her return. So Naomi pins the champion, and AJ was not very happy. AJ, well, shoved Tamina in and then started to shout at her, and it's sort of like, as I was talking to Mark from, our buddy Mark from MJK PR on Twitter. We kind of saw this somewhere just recently, and it had a good impact.
It did.
But yeah, she was shouting and blaming her for the losses in the tag matches, because when she's single, she always picks up the win. So yeah, looks like there's a little bit of situation going on between AJ and Tamina as well. Things aren't looking good for the champ.
No, not in the least. And oh my holy Jesus.
She just found something. I'm going to mention something. If you have the WWE Network, go back and watch Main Event from last Tuesday night. And then there was an awesome match between Natalya, former...
Taker worked with the Wyatts on the dark match and we didn't get to see it! Damn it! Video! Somebody has to have video!
I will get into that later. Oh, we're going to continue doing this show the right way. calm down. Anyway, go back and watch AJ vs. Natalya, the best women's match on WWE TV in a long time. It's on the WWE Network. Get it now. We then had the Mr. T announcement going into the WWE Hall of Fame. Well deserved.
Very well deserved.
Goes into the celebrity wing. We have an 8-man tag. Big E, Big Show, Mark Henry, and Ziggles taking on Ryback, Curtis Axel, Del Rio, and Damian Sandow. Good match.
Yes, very, very good match. Very enjoyable.
We had a lot of people go over the top rope. It's sort of like in the Battle Royal, but Big Show pins Damian Sandow after the chokeslam for the 1-2-3.
Yes, so it seems Damien's getting publicly punished.
Might have fallen asleep in a meeting? You never know. Anyway. Mm. Batista was then walking out again. Batista, Renee Young asked Batista if it's safe to say that he didn't quit. Batista said he never quits. Then said he doesn't care who wins between Brian and Hunter at WrestleMania because he will walk out WWE World Heavyweight Champion after it's over. On Friday Night SmackDown, John Cena takes on Luke Harper.
That should be good.
But in the ring, Bray Wyatt took on Kofi Kingston. Bray Wyatt killed Kofi Kingston.
Yes, he did.
Before this match, they played a video with Eminem's Legacy as the song, where it's sort of like a Bray Wyatt rap video.
It worked. It really really, really kind of worked, especially since they spliced the female voice in right when he said, there's a woman, in, or I hear a woman speaking, and then it's like, if you actually listen to what she's saying something to the effect of, she'll be his savior, she'll catch him when he falls, or something like that. So it's a really nice tie-in to what he said last week about the woman and to Abigail. So they did a good job with it. I almost wish they had kind of cut the Eminem lyrics out. No offense to Eminem, and just had the music and then spliced the woman's voice in, because that could have made it just a little bit better. But it was a really nicely put together video package. They pulled a lot of old footage of him from the swamp, you know, in the pink shirt from when he debuted and all that other stuff. So it was really nice.
Oh, it was, and Bray Wyatt beat Kofi Kingston in the center of the ring, sending a message that he is coming for John Cena at WrestleMania.
And I really kind of can't wait for this match.
No, it's getting very intriguing. That's for damn sure.
Yes, it is.
So now it's time for our main event segment of the evening. The face-to-face, man-to-man confrontation between Triple H and Daniel Bryan. Triple H came down to the ring and, well, he called out Daniel Bryan. Hunter thanked Bryan for coming down to the ring. Then said he wants to get a few things off his chest. He said he'll be lucky if his wife talks to him tonight, but he wants to talk to him like a man. Hunter said a lot of things have happened to them since SummerSlam. He wants to explain everything he did up to this moment was because he believed it was best for business. It's not personal, Hunter said. Hunter said he wants Bryan to understand this was about what is best for WWE. He says he doesn't want to debate it, and he can't expect Bryan, the fans, or anyone else to understand the burden of what is best for this company. But then said a lot has happened. Last week, Bryan crossed the line that you don't come back from. But he is willing to let it pass because it just feels like it's supposed to happen this way. In 3 weeks of WrestleMania, they are going to step into this ring and they are going to fight. And he will not apologize for what he does, nor should Bryan apologize. Hunter said they're going to do it better than anyone else at WrestleMania. But Bryan crossed the line and he has no choice to put an end to all of it. I don't necessarily want to do it, but I have no choice, said Hunter. The fans started to chant, yes, yes, yes. Hunter then, sort of started getting angry. He said he has to shut this all down, shut it all down. No apologies if he has to shut down Bryan. Either Hunter says it's what's best for business. He wanted to look at him eye to eye and say no hard feelings, and may the best man win. Hunter goes for a handshake, and Bryan said no, which Hunter sort of brushed off a little bit and said, okay, I understand you were in Bryan's position, he would do the same thing. Hunter then calmly told Bryan he has dumped on a ton on him since SummerSlam, thrown roadblocks at him, and dumped a world on top of him, yet he is still standing. Hunter then said that Bryan deserves the chance because they respect him. He said anyone else would have folded a long time ago and taken their ball and gone home.
Ba-dum-ching.
But Bryan, but not Bryan. Hunter said Bryan has a big set, and if nothing else, Daniel Bryan, you've earned my respect. Hunter starts to leave, and then started screaming on the stage. Steph said what Bryan did last week was not only disrespectful, but illegal. Steph said she is formally pressing charges, and then out came the cops. Hunter left the ring and argued with Stephanie. She basically, you respect him? What the hell is that? Steph shouted at Hunter. Hunter said he is this under control. Stephanie started screaming, it's our business. It says this is her business. He replies, it's our business. Steph said that's right, so he needs to do this with her. The officers took down Bryan aggressively and handcuffed him. Bryan demanded they get off him. Then Hunter finished arguing with Steph and entered the ring and told the cops, they don't need to do this. This doesn't need to happen. And just back away, get off of him. And then told them, no, well, I'm not even real cops.
Uh-oh.
Hunter said he's looking forward to doing this. He then started kicking Bryan in the head as Steph smiled. Cole was screaming, this is all set up. Hunter dragged and handcuffed Bryan to the floor, threw him around a little bit. Bryan was fighting back with headbutts. Hunter got thrown. Hunter threw Brian around a little bit more. Stephanie was barking orders. Then Hunter chucked Brian into the guardrail. Cole was calling for help. Steph taunted Brian with the yes points. He got thrown onto the table, which looked like it hurt. Hunter then started ripping off the shirt of Brian, then suplexed him onto the table. Everyone was around in fear. Hunter continued his assault, continued mocking with the yes chants. Hunter then stood over Daniel Bryan, held him up a little bit, and then Stephanie slapped Brian. And a second time he did, and he screamed, "You hit like a girl." And there was a third slap. Then Hunter put Brian in the corner, grabbed the chair, and then smashed Daniel Bryan's head into the ring post. You would think we were done here. No. Hunter pulls Brian into the middle of the ring up by his torn up shirt. He picks him up, his lifeless body, and pedigrees him in the center of the ring. Hunter and Steph make out a little bit and then said, "Well, this is our ring. This is our show. There is no yes movement." And that's how we ended Monday Night Raw, with a very, very strong ending and a hot segment to close and this edition of Monday Night Raw.
This was fantastic. It was a little long, it was a little much, but it was fantastic. I mean, honestly, if it had been me, I would have just closed with the chair shot to the head, and Hunter dragging him to the ring, and then Steph and Hunter standing over him. But it's something of, you knew this, you kind of figured this was coming, that Brian was going to get his ass beat. It was something of how they were going to do it, and this was really, really clever, and it kind of harkened back to Taker Hunter 1 all those years ago at X7, where Hunter beat Taker down while he was handcuffed from the cops because they had him, quote-unquote, arrested. So this was a nice kind of echo back to that. I'm sure it wasn't actually meant to be that, but this was well done. They set Brian up, they lured him out, and they took him down. And it's basically, they sent the message, "We will not stand for being humiliated."
Yep.
And it's like, you knew last week Brian was not going to get away with that. You knew he wasn't.
Nope. And nor should he. And nor should he.
Nor should he, no. This, in a lot of ways, this needed to happen because you've got Brian, just on a roll, and then it's like, he's got two potentially big matches coming at Mania, one for sure, and it's like, you're playing Hunter. And it's, Hunter's going to do everything he can to take you down before he gets you to Mania, and then he's just going to try to kill you once you get to the show. So, this was well done. Very well played. It puts Brian in doubt, which makes Brian really the ultimate underdog in, 2 weeks? 3 weeks?
3 weeks from tonight.
And I guarantee you there will be one more beatdown, probably from Orton and Batista, or from Batista, because Orton already got his. So Batista will probably beat Orton up before Mania, which will keep Brian in doubt, and then, won't it be miraculous when Brian pulls out a victory? Because, if this is any indication, Brian's probably going over Hunter.
Oh, most likely, yeah.
So, this was nice. This was very well done. And, this was good.
On WWE Backstage Pass, trying to get the names right, they stretchered out Daniel Bryan. He was unconscious and Bree was by his side as they put him in an ambulance. So that's where they left that. So there you go. That's Monday Night Raw in a complete nutshell. Any final thoughts before we wrap this shindig up?
If anybody has video of the dark match in which Taker and the Wyatts and Cena were all in the ring together, please send the video to media@wildtalkradio.com now. Other than that, this is a fantastic show. They're doing a wonderful job of building up to WrestleMania. I'm excited.
I am excited, and well, media@wildtalkradio.com has something to show you as after we're done this show. Anyway.
Did you find it?
Anyway. You've been listening to the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern, it is The Rack. Before we tell you what's on this week's show, go back and listen to last week's show, which featured the one and only WWE diva, Natalya. But Lindsay, what's next?
Well, we are very, very, very excited to announce that we are going to be having yet another guest on the show. I know we've been bombarding you, and I promise this is the last one, at least for now, but he's certainly not the least. I'm personally excited because he's absolutely one of my favorite artists. He's done some amazing work with WWE. Go to WWE Auctions right now. He's got work up available for bid. He's going to be working with WrestleMania and on WrestleMania Access, I believe, for his paintings. And I think I completely botched that, but oh well. We are having the one and only Rob Schomburger come on the show, so prepare for me to pick his brain as the art nerd that I am. But yes, very excited. I love his work. If you've never seen it, which I'm sure you have, you just don't probably realize it's his, go to Rob Schomburger, Schomburger.com to check it out. It's amazing, and I can't wait to talk to him.
Go to RackRadioShow.com as well. Before Saturday night, check out the Rack Extra. We just did one for the preview of Season 2 Total Divas. We will review Episode 1 of Season 2, and it'll be available Friday on Rack Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. As we promote during the show, WTR 10 this Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, a look back at 10 years of Russell Talk Radio with Tim Stein. Follow them on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night and Facebook.com/Russell Talk Radio. We'll be back next Monday night for another edition of the Raw Post Show live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Join the Facebook group at Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Lindsay.
Well, you can follow my craziness on Twitter at Linsward, LINSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. On my website, under the Contact Us section, is a link to my Redbubble store. If you like my artwork, which is frequently featured on my Twitter, if I could talk, you can go to my Redbubble store and buy it. Select pieces are available for sale. If you just want to check it out, you can go to Behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitter, and most of it is available for your viewing pleasure. Check out CassidyRiley.net, check out RackRadioShow.com, and of course, listen to The Rack every Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and of course, check out our archives with all the amazing guests that we've had over the last month. There's so many, I can't even comprehend them right now. So please go check that out and listen this week to hear Rob Schomburger.
Thanks to PW Mania and MemlanePromo.com. For Lindsay, I'm Rock. We'll see you this Thursday for The Rack and right back here on the Raw Post Show. Good night, everybody.
On your knees for the King of Kings.
Why would you send me that now?
There is only one.
WildTalkRadio.com.